This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us. Today we talk with David Millard, the 109th Legislative District Representative. Mr. Millard is with us today to bring us an update on his district and the issues we're all facing, including, of course, the COVID pandemic. Mr. Millard, thank you for being with us today on the program. Your thoughts on how the governor's administration has handled it, how it's impacted us. Just give me kind of your rundown on the past year, pandemic-wise, and how you think Pennsylvania's been dealing.
Well, I think that the governor really messed it up because, you know, he's had a year under his belt knowing that when a vaccine became available that there had to be distribution sites around. And what he did was to, you know, put our small pharmacies through the hoops to become a provider. And they had to buy software and, you know, just all kinds of things. And they did it. And then to turn around here just a couple weeks ago and knock the small guys out of it being a provider. And I have to tell you that, you know, we're happy with all that are able to be providers and administer it. However, don't take away the small mom and pop places that are located in a lot of our rural communities, because people don't want to travel long distance, especially those who, you know, may have some kind of a medical condition and they don't want to walk. At least what I've heard from them, they don't want to walk a football field away to get the shot. They're comfortable. They have a comfort zone with the local pharmacist that they've dealt with for everything else, and that's where they want to go. So I have legislation that is twofold. First of all, to negate the decision by the governor and the Department of Health to remove the small mom and pop pharmacies as being providers. Secondly, second piece of legislation, in the absence of that happening or compelling them to do so, is to reimburse the mom and pop pharmacies for every nickel that they had to invest to become a provider, as per Department of Health guidelines, CDC, all of that, whatever the Department of Health put out. I mean, again, you know, we go back to a year, they saw it coming. Now, obviously, if there's a distribution problem, that's something else, but don't take away the small pharmacies. They're an integral part of every community. But listen, I think at this point we've learned that the governor would probably screw up a one-car funeral. But, you know, we just have to move forward and get people vaccinated. The numbers indicate that people are getting vaccinated. As a matter of fact, I got my second shot yesterday, the Moderna, and at my local pharmacy.
All right. The another concern has been the emergency declaration, which I guess is already being addressed as far as taking a governor's power away to continually renew that, correct? Is that, what are your thoughts on that? Is that something needs to be changed as well?
Well, I believe so. And I would encourage everyone when that's on the ballot to vote in the affirmative on it to remove that ability of the governor to do so. First of all, when this pandemic started, and I want to preface this, that we certainly don't want ill harm to come to anyone. We recognize the severity of it. It is real. We have a pandemic. However, you know, the detail part of this is that the governor keeps renewing this emergency declaration. Now, we've learned a lot in the past year. It's not like it's something new that, you know, would warrant at least one continuation of it. We have a lot of information under our belt at this point. We can get back to business, you know, as normal, maybe not 100% normal as we remember it, but to some semblance of normalcy. And for him to, you know, keep his thumb down on social gatherings and how many people can sit here or attend, you know, an outdoor event is just ludicrous, because give these businesses the opportunity to take all the safety protocols and be in business. And, you know, I have a lot of legislation on the runway that will come into play depending how this pans out on Election Day. And, you know, I'm addressing getting things back to normal, getting our bars back to normal, getting our restaurants back to normal, getting our amusement parks back to normal. And it just depends on, you know, that outcome of that election. Now, I don't have a crystal ball, but I believe that the day after the election, that it is going to be in the affirmative, that we're going to negate his declaration after 21 days. And I think that, as is usually the way that Governor Wolf does business, that once he sees the handwriting on the wall, then he'll, you know, play Mr. Good Guy and, you know, say, well, we're going to, you know, revisit these things and get back to normal. Well, yeah, because he's going to be backed in a corner and have no choice. But that would be my call on that.
All right. You're as far as economic recovery from this, what, you know, what are you guys doing in Harrisburg to get the state back on track economically? Any specific measures there?
Well, we recognize the fact that no matter what, you know, we have to move forward. And in respect to the economic recovery, we've always had programs that were funded to some degree to, you know, promote the economic health and wealth of our Commonwealth, and that will still continue. The difference is with the federal dollars that are being made available in many of our communities and to the state. What we're doing is looking at those numbers and trying to be very sensible and very cautious as we move forward, so that what we don't do is, you know, take it all and spend it like water through your fingers and then have to do a major tax increase. We are going to avoid doing a tax increase. We are not on board with the governor to increase the corporate net income tax and some other things. We want to keep taxes in check. I think that now is the wrong time to take more dollars out of people's pocket. If you want economic recovery, you need to create the environment that provides the jobs, that puts money in their pocket with family sustaining wages. So that, you know, that's what I'm looking at here. I mean, we have in excess of a $30 billion budget. It's a very large umbrella, all the agencies that receive those dollars. What we also do not want to do, we don't want to interrupt the chemistry that exists, you know, with providing continuity of all their varying services. That would be the wrong thing to do as well. So we're looking at what their needs are, looking at the federal dollars, where we can plug those in as necessary, you know, and also not raising taxes.
Anything non-pandemic related that you've been working on, or has it all been kind of in that direction, you know, somehow tied to the pandemic?
Well, I think that every piece of legislation that I have on the runway or introduced is all pandemic related. And I think that, you know, Matt, as we go forward, I believe that for the next decade, we're going to be dealing with something pandemic related, whether it's liability. You know, what we're trying to do again is to get businesses back operational. And, you know, there's a concern that an employee will go back, somebody will, you know, contract COVID, and then that employee will turn around and try to sue the employer. And we don't want to have things like that happen. What we want to do is keep our businesses healthy so they can employ our friends and family. So we're looking at that, the liability issues. We're looking at the funding at every level to be administered to make up some of the financial difficulties that our small businesses have faced. And with regard to our large businesses, what we're trying to do is to, you know, take a good look at the unemployment. And that in itself was a debacle with the aging computer systems and technology to, you know, make it seamless, try to do the necessary upgrades that, you know, when an individual is entitled to unemployment, that when they file, that there's no glitches and they get it. Because you can imagine somebody that, you know, is a couple of weeks out without a paycheck or money coming in, and then they hit a brick wall with trying to file their claim. Very, very frustrating. And, you know, my office is pretty much an extension of the unemployment office, quite frankly, because I'm not the first resort for an individual. I'm the office of last resort when they're having a problem. And unfortunately, the governor took away a lot of our legislative contacts and liaisons in the unemployment department, so that we have very limited resources at this point to try and assist. But we're doing pretty good. We try to work our way through it on behalf of our constituents, and we're getting it done. But we'd like to be a quicker turnaround for them.
Okay. Do you feel like Pennsylvania, you know, if you ranked all the 50 states, I mean, is this obviously it's been a challenge for everyone. You know, where do we rank in how we've handled this? I mean, aren't there others who have fared far worse? Or would you say, you know, we're among the worst, among the top 10? You know, just give me some concept, because that's, you know, that's all we've been hearing for the last year is various states and varying degrees of being ready and dealing.
It depends on who you listen to. If you're listening to the governor or the department and drinking their Kool-Aid, they're telling you we're doing pretty good, we're in the teens. But if you're looking at some national surveys, we're in the 30s. Now, you know, we've creeped up from the 40s into the 30s. But, you know, in defense of all the administrative attempts here, understand that Pennsylvania has 13 million population. Other states may not have that largesse of population. And out of that 13 million, we've got two major cities that have a concentrated population. And, you know, when you put that into play, trying to deal with large numbers, and then just what we had previously talked about, dealing in rural areas with smaller numbers to get people vaccinated, I think we can do better. And that, in that respect, I believe if we keep the small providers in business doing it, I think that we'll improve our numbers greatly. But, you know, right now, I guess, in short, we're holding our own. We're moving forward, although I think we could do a better pace of moving forward.
All righty. And we've kind of heard less about another epidemic, which is the opioid issue, because everything's been kind of pushed aside, obviously, by COVID. But what's your report card grade on how we're dealing with that right now? Is it, you know, it's still an issue, obviously, even if we don't hear about it in the news every day.
Well, and the governor has continually declared that as an emergency and updated his emergency declaration. But we've not forgotten about that. When I mentioned to you that what we want to do is provide stable funding for all of the programs that we had existing prior to COVID, and now we're in COVID, we do not want to reduce the dollars in those programs, because we recognize not only the opioids, but there are other tremendous issues out there also that want to provide continuity and get that out. One of the other major issues that seems to be on the front burner now is, again, COVID-related mental health and the uptick in, you know, child abuse, spousal abuse, and, you know, all of those types of things. And, you know, again, we don't want to remove those resources for those programs. We want to be very cognizant that, you know, they serve a great need, and we need to provide the funding to them.
All right. And one other question, since I'm interviewing you as a state legislator, if you don't want to go here, that's fine. But in your other role as a member of the Bloomsburg Fair Board, what were your thoughts on the cancellation last year? And do you think it's going to happen this year?
Well, we are moving full speed ahead, figuring that the number of vaccinations or people vaccinated will be in high numbers by the time the fair rolls around. And, you know, if we go back to what was originally stated, that warm weather is our friend, that should help as well. But I think that basically, if we go back to the vaccinations, I think there'll be a comfort level with our patrons at the fair, knowing that, you know, the largest percent of the population has been vaccinated. And I'm not going to assign a number to that, but I'll just say that the majority of our friends and neighbors will have had their vaccination by the time the fair rolls around. Now, will there be protocols, safety protocols that will have to be in play? I do believe there will be. And I think that what we will do is, you know, with the hand washing stations and requiring masking if that's still in play at that time, and, you know, trying to encourage our vendors to, you know, put those dots on the pavement to space people out if they're going for a pizza or a hot sausage or something. And, you know, again, our businesses are very responsive and very responsible. They don't want a bad reputation for, you know, causing somebody to have an outbreak of COVID. They want everybody to be healthy, and they want their business to be healthy. So I believe that they will do everything according to safety protocol from CDC.
Representative Dave Millard of the 109th District in Pennsylvania updating us today on issues facing the Commonwealth, and in particular his district. But, of course, we've talked a lot about the pandemic, which affects us all. Thank you for being with us, Representative Dave Millard. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.